Good morning.
Maizumi Roshi said, "The practice of Zen is literally a matter of life and death. And one reason that this is true is because everything is constantly changing. The only thing that we can rely on is this present moment. There are no guarantees of a next moment. Therefore, we say in Zen, if not now, when?" Presiding over the funeral of a student monk, a Zen master turns to the Sangha and stands in silence. After several minutes, the old teacher shouts from his belly, "Who will be next?" This is sitting on the edge of a cliff. Who will be next? I recently bought a bouquet of chrysanthemums for Cindy, and she cut a couple off the stem and put them in a small glass vase on my altar. And each morning before I sat, I would notice the subtle changes. Each day, they were different than the day before. Eventually, despite being placed in water, they began to wilt. And then after a week or so, the flowers began to dry out and drop their petals. If I sit with this experience, I see that coming and going of these flowers is yet another expression of impermanence. I realize that the universe is constantly changing. In fact, the next day, I had to take an alternate route to work because the street that I had used for 20 years had been closed for repairs. Now, impermanence is not a philosophical abstraction. It's not a concept. It applies to our very lives. We have no idea when we will find the road of life closed. This incredible experience of being alive is temporary. It can end without celebration. As Basho reminds us, famous haiku, "Like dewdrops on a lotus leaf, I vanish." Each dewdrop can be seen as an individual existence. The dewdrop does not experience existential angst because of its temporal nature. It exists fully as a dewdrop until it's not. One of the Four Noble Truths states that life is suffering. And one of the main reasons we suffer is because of our inability to accept impermanence. We live with fear and anxiety that the rug will be pulled out from under us. The truth is that if we can accept impermanence, we can be free. Free to live fully in each moment without worrying what's going to happen next. What is required to accomplish this surrender is not knowing. Surrendering to not knowing what happens next. To just be fully present to this moment. I think that our desire to cling to knowing is really the desire to be in control, to be secure. But eventually, if our sitting ripens, we come to see that it is because things are impermanent that they are so precious and so beautiful. Now, it's true that it's hard to let go of our attachments, especially to friends and family. As a social being, it's biologically natural to form emotional attachments to each other. And in fact, there's a whole psychological field of study devoted to attachment and what's referred to as attachment behavior. Yet, at the very same time, from the perspective of Buddha's insight, we are required to accept the limitations of these attachments. In the end, our practice teaches us to accept and work with each moment as it arises from a place of not knowing. Just accepting things as they are and doing the best that we can with the ingredients of that moment. This doesn't mean that impermanence won't cause pain, or that we shouldn't grieve our losses. It means that if we truly accept the fact of impermanence, we will live in harmony with the endings of things and respond more clearly and more directly. One day a student noticed that his teacher, whose wife of 50 years had recently died from cancer, had tears in his eyes during Daisan. The student asked his teacher, "Roshi, why are you crying?" And the teacher answered, "My wife has died." And the student said, "But you have always taught us that everything is impermanent." And the teacher responded, "It's true that everything is impermanent, but I still miss her." One last poem. Dewdrops on a summer morning. Looking carefully, we see how beautiful. The sun comes up, and they are soon gone.